Western Hills. I'm glad you're here to worship with us. Let's stand and let's sing together. Here we go.
Good morning. Yeah, that's pretty good. So, for our missions moment, I just have a kind of an exciting update. Real quick, do I have any teachers or school staff present in here? You can raise your hand. Okay. Stick with me until the end. I've got something for you. So, as many of you know, the school year is quickly approaching, starting here in just a couple weeks, some of them starting this week. And so, with that comes another cool opportunity for us as the church to bless our school partners. So just like in years past, we do this through some school supplies, and so we're gonna do that again this year. And the way we're gonna do that is gonna look similar to how we did it last year. And so if you remember back to last year, we opened up a special donation fund that you could contribute your tithes and offerings to. You could allocate those for this. And so it's really simple. If you want to donate some funds to go to our school partner specifically to those school supplies. All you have to do, whether you give online, give via check or cash, is designate it for the school supply drive. It's as simple as that. And then here in a couple weeks, we'll have some designated shoppers who will take those funds and then go purchase those supplies and deliver them to the schools. And so it's just a really cool way that we get to continue walking alongside these partners that we've been walking alongside for many years now, to be the church out in our community and live out the reality of Jesus, as we say. And so that's coming. And so if you want to be a part of that, we would love that, because you guys have proven yourselves to be generous time and time again. So we're excited to see what God does through this. So now to my teachers. If I could have you guys stand up for me real quick, I want to have us pray for you guys, or school administrators, all right? And so this just gives you a general idea of who we have in our midst, and we have others in First Service who dedicate their time to blessing and investing in students, kiddos of all ages. And so I want us to pray for you. So those of you who are still sitting, I'm going to invite you to spend about 30 seconds praying for these teachers and administrators, and then I'll close us in a time praying over them and for this school drive opportunity. All right, can you do that for me? Awesome. So go ahead, pray for them. I'll give you 30 seconds. Father, we're just so thankful for the teachers that you've put in our lives and the lives of our kiddos. And we just thank you for the time and the commitment that they make to investing in kids. And we just ask that as they approach this school year, that you would bless them with energy, with strength, with courage, all of that that goes into stepping into those classrooms and being there for those students. And so we're thankful for them, and we're thankful for the way that you use them. And ultimately, we just ask that you would bring joy to these teachers and administrators and families and to the kiddos themselves, that they might come to know you through that joy. So we ask that over these teachers, and we just ask another blessing over this school supply drive, that you would use these school supplies to make connections, to bless families, to bless kids this year, and that through that, your kingdom would just have a mighty impact. And so we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Thank you.
And let's stand and let's continue in worship this morning.
Oh, Thank you. So it's a little better. I was a weeping mess in first service. And I really thought I could pull it off for second service, but I hate Rick. You changed the verse on that song to the prodigal son verse, and you knew that was my favorite. You know. I'm thankful to be in a place where I don't have to be fake about stuff that goes on and what God's doing in me, right? This morning we're going to do communion a little differently. I've never ever in my life done communion the way we're going to do it today. And part of me wonders why, because the first Passover meal was done standing up. And I don't know if in my entire life I've ever done communion standing up. And the reason the Passover meal was done standing up was that it was done remembering who God was, remembering that God had provided for them, but to do it in a position to be obedient immediately. You see, when they had that first Passover meal, they were in Egypt, and Moses told them, you're going to do this in remembrance of your God, in remembrance that he saves you, and he steps into these places for you. He comes into your Egypt, and he delivers you. But you have to be ready. You got to be ready to be obedient immediately when he shows up to that place. And I think this is a great picture of how we should always take communion, where we remember the body of Jesus that was broken for us and his blood that was shed for us, and that he comes into our Egypt. He comes into our Egypt to redeem us, to save us, to give us purpose, to give us wholeness. And our only response, our only responsibility in that moment is to remember him in a place of readiness, and a place to be ready. So this morning we're going to sing the song Egypt. And I love this song. This was the first song that Rick sang the Sunday after we found out that Cooper got his cancer diagnosis. But we remember, right? We remember that he is good, and he is with us, and he is for us, and he enters into our Egypt. So as the band starts this song out, you take a moment. You take a moment with whoever you came to church with, and if you're here by yourself, go sneak into a row with somebody and share that moment. And have a moment of taking the bread and drinking the juice, remembering Jesus. And then we're going to worship very loudly together. Father, this morning we love you, and as we worship both with our voice and with this act of communion, this act of remembering Jesus and that he came to our Egypt and he willingly died and rose again for our sin so that we didn't have to live in bondage forever. And so, Father, we remember this morning, and we remember it standing up in a place of being ready to follow and to obey. It's in your name that I pray. Amen. By night, a guiding light to my feet.
hands together one more time. Thank you for singing with us, and you guys can have your seats.
That will get you ready for something. Hey, listen, before I get into the message this week, I kind of want to ask something from you as my church family. I want you to pray for me. I want you to pray for our leaders, our staff, and our church council, because on August 20th, through 22nd, we're going to go and do a retreat. Now, doing a retreat for our leaders is not unique to us, but, you know, this last 18 months has been the hardest, most challenging in our lives of leadership. It's just been the hardest thing we've ever had to go through. And despite that, we spent a lot of time with each other over the last 18 months, praying, arguing, making decisions, praying. And we came out of this time, despite all of the challenges, every one of us came out of this with this renewed focus, this renewed passion for those words of living out the reality of Jesus to every person, every place. We came out of this with, I think God grew our hearts to want and to care more for lost people than we've ever had before in our lives. And so you may have noticed some of this, right? We challenged behind the scenes, we challenged every single one of our leaders to have a one-on-one relationship, discipleship relationship this year. I just really stuck it to them. Of listen, you gotta be in a discipling relationship. You gotta grow your heart for Christ. We are starting a new partnership with our student ministry, taking a pretty significant risk with Young Life. Young Life that no church has ever tried to do here in our city before, because Young Life has access and has a history of interacting with lost kids, and we want to do that with them. We want to partner with them of being more intentional about reaching lost kids. Our new partnership with Lifeline Ministry that is intersecting young girls in crisis who have either an unwanted pregnancy or a pregnancy that's pushing them on the edge of where the state's going to come in and take their kids, and we're partnering with them to match those young women with Christ-following, deeply loving, godly parents who can help and coach them through this in a way that's redemptive. Our Upward Sports kicked off again, and there's a renewed focus on making sure every kid, every team has a leader around them that is about living out the reality of Jesus in their presence. So you might have noticed some of these things. And there's been a parable in Matthew 25 that has really messed me up this last year. It's messed us up as leaders as we've looked at it differently. And it's the parable of the talents. And it's a familiar parable if you grew up in church. I've taught on this parable quite a bit. And it's the parable where a master comes and he brings in his three servants and he gives each one of the servant a different talent. He gives one servant five talents. He gives another one two talents. And he gives another one talent. And a talent, just to give you some perspective, a talent was 20 years worth of wages. It was an obscene, generous amount of money. And he gives one 5. He gives one 2. And he gives one 1. And of course, the master goes away. He comes back. He calls the servants in. And the one that was given 5 brings in 5 more. He's produced 10. The one with 2 produces 2 more. He brings back 4. And to both of these, the master says to them, "Good and well done, faithful servant. Enter into my joy." He says this, enter into the joy. Enter into the joy of the master. And then the servant with 1 talent shows up. And he brings back 1 talent. And the master is furious with him. And all my life, I think I've taught this message. Say, well, the reason the master is furious is because the 1 talent guy wasted his talent. And I think that's wrong. Because in the language, in the dialogue, the 1 talent servant says to the master, "I was afraid to lose, so I did nothing." And this statement is what triggers the master into anger. And this statement is when the master says to him, "You wicked and slothful servant." I wonder if the servant had come home and said, "So I tried a bunch of things and I ended up in the negative." I wonder if the master would have said something different, like, "Okay, you need to go hang out with the 5 or the 2 talent guy and figure some stuff out." Because what triggered the master was the guy did nothing. He did nothing with this huge, generous gift that the master had given him. That is what angers the master. And he doesn't get to enter the joy of the master because he did nothing with what God has given him. Please hear me. I don't think Western Hills Church will ever be accused of doing nothing. I don't think that's who we are. But I think there's a renewed passion, there's a renewed focus from me and from our leaders to we want to be better at reaching lost people. Just want to be better at it. And so this summer, we've invited leaders in. I call them 5 and 2 talent leaders. That's not an insult. That are helping us figure out how to get better at living out the reality of Jesus for those who are far from Christ. And we've invited them on this retreat with us on August 20th and 22nd. And we're hoping to come out of this with some strategic, thought out, and probably courageous steps that we can begin to build over the next year or two so that we can be a place where those who are far from Christ will find Christ. And so I'm asking you to pray for us. In fact, I'm going to do that right now. Father, I do pray for us as leaders that you would give us wisdom and insight. I pray that you would give not just our leaders, but every single person who calls Western Hills home a bigger heart for those who are far from you. That they would be wrecked when they read stories like this. That they would see their places of work, their places of school, their homes, where they walk. They would begin to see with your eyes folks who are far from Christ and desperately need you. And I pray for courage, that we would be obedient with the obscene, generous gifts that you've given us. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that. Well, listen, we're going to jump into a new series this morning, and it's called Living Connected. You'll never guess. There are a couple of things, there are 2 truths that we've absolutely experienced over the last 18 months, right? The first truth is this: we are fiercely independent. Fiercely. We are fiercely independent. And this has a good and a bad side. The good side is this sense of fierce independence has forced us, has moved us to confront things that have never, ever before been confronted. right? We've seen over this last 18 months issues such as racism, sexism, the education gap, the economic gap, human trafficking, sexual harassment, mental health issues, abusive conditions on a scale like never before. And we've seen folks with this fierce sense of independence confront them in arenas that had never been confronted before in our history. The entertainment industry, college sports, even the church. But this fierce independence also came with a dark side. And the fierce independence also divided us in ways previously thought unimaginable. There is this sense of we want what we want, when we want it, how we want it, and we want everyone else to want the same exact thing that we want. And if they don't want how we want it, then we'll cancel them. We're done with you. And as a result of this, we have seen folks change where they shop. We have seen where they eat, them change where they eat. We've seen them change social media venues. We've seen them, this is gonna get a little close to home. We've seen them change churches. We've seen them abandon friendships. And even some of us have found ourselves in families that we can't even talk to each other about certain topics. It's just fractured us in stunning ways. The second truth that we've discovered through in this 18 months is that we desperately crave, we need relationship. We need relationship. And this is both good and bad. So we need those 2 a.m. friends, right, that we can call. We need those places where we can be who we are and we don't have to wear a mask, we don't have to pretend. But this desire, this need for this relationship has also created this vacuum to where we are watching people stay in unhealthy, abusive relationships because they can't imagine having no relationship. They'll stay in unhealthy ones at the cost of going finding a new one, right? The social media darlings that have thousands of followers and yet they end up taking their own life because they feel utterly alone. Relationships that over text or online are one way, but then when you get in person, they're completely different. So, it's undeniably true. We have this fierce sense of independence. We have this desperate need of relationship to the point that we will stay in abusive, one-sided, codependent, unhealthy, fake relationships despite the harm that they cause. Now, what if I told you, what if I said to you that this is not a design flaw in what it means to be human? But what if I said to you that even though this looks like a mistake, even though you may think this is part of the fall of humanity, this is part of the sin, what if I said to you, no, what if these two things are actually vital components of what it means to be made in the image of God? Allow me to make my case. If you have your scriptures, I'd like for you to go to Genesis. It's the very first book in the Bible. It's the easiest one to find. Genesis chapter 1. And the Bible says this about humanity. God created man in his own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. Got that? Image of God. You, image of God. What does that mean? I'm glad you asked. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 and following. Genesis chapter 2. The Lord God took the man, placed him in the Garden of Eden to work it and watch over it. And the Lord God said to the man, "You are free to eat from any tree of the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for on the day you eat from it, you will certainly die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good." First time these words have been entered into the story. All up until this point, everything's been good. And now we get the Lord said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper corresponding to him. And then this leads into this beautiful part of the story where Adam is a complete dolt. And God has to put in front of Adam every single animal in the kingdom for Adam to realize, all of them have male and female, and I don't. Like Adam didn't get this until the very end. It takes him a while. And the reason God does it this way is that God was creating a sense inside Adam that, listen, you're created for relationship, and yes, you're created for relationship with me, but I've also created you for relationship with others. And so we get through with this story, and we have three key components of what it means to be human. And here they are. The first one is God puts man in the garden, and he says, you are responsible for where you live. You're responsible to take care of the garden, and you're responsible for your relationship with me, hence the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, knowledge is not knowledge like insight. Knowledge, the word actually meant experience. Like, I choose to experience this. Well, then, he not only puts them in a place of responsibility, he puts them in a place of having a will, a free will to choose to do this. Because you can't hold someone responsible, right, unless they have the capacity to be responsible. Then he creates them in a place of relationship. And so these three things work together. He gives them a will to choose to be responsible in relationship. Now, the question is, and then God creates this, and then God says, it is not good for man to be alone. And it begs the question, well, listen, if it's not good for God, for man to be alone, God, why did you create us this way? It's kind of your fault, right? And logically, here's the reason why. Logically is you can't have one without the others. If you want to have a meaningful relationship, you have to have free will and responsibility. Because a meaningful relationship is meaningful because I choose to enter into this relationship. I'm not forced to. I could choose to not be in that relationship. And every meaningful relationship has responsibilities tied to it. If I'm going to be a friend, then I have a responsibility to be trustworthy. I have a responsibility to speak truth. I have a responsibility to love unconditionally. Those are responsibilities that I bring to this relationship, and they give meaning to that relationship. Now, I choose to do that. Are you seeing how they're all interconnected? This is what it means to be human, and here's the heart of the matter. The reason that this is what it means to be human is because this is what it means to be God. This is who God is at his core. He is love. He has relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And he creates and he takes and he does it of his own free will. He chooses to do this. He chooses to create a place to where he has relationship with mankind, and he chooses to be responsible for this relationship. This is the story of the whole Bible. Even when mankind rejects God, even when mankind says, I don't need God, God steps into the place and he chooses to be responsible for that relationship by providing the sacrifice that is needed to redeem that relationship. This is the entire sacrificial system of the Old Testament, and it is ultimately why we have the cross of Jesus Christ. Is God entering in this relationship with humanity of his own free will? He chooses to do it. He's not forced to do it. And he takes responsibility of that relationship at the cost of himself. Are you following where I'm going? Right? So this is why we are created with this fierce independence and this incredible need for relationship. Now, what happens is, this explains the whole story of the Bible, yes, but it also explains the whole story that we find ourselves in. And that is, we get to this time of life, where we are our life, and we begin to realize there's something in us that's not quite right. There's something in us that's just not quite fulfilled. So we spend our lives trying to find something that's going to satisfy whatever this is inside me. And we'll try everything. Sex, drugs, rock and roll, right? We'll try unhealthy things. We'll try anything to fill this gap in us, this relational gap, missing that the reason God has given us horizontal relationships is to point us to and to give us a glimpse of the greater holistic healing, a vertical relationship that he's created us for. It's not one or the other, but it's both and. And this is what we spend our lives doing. And of course, we know that's the solution to this craving that's inside of us. What answers this, what fulfills this inside of us, we know, you're here this morning, so I'm going to assume that you know the answer is Jesus. It sounds like a squirrel, but I'm going to go with Jesus, right? And so we know this, but there's a problem. And the problem is with this fierce independence kick in. And I'm going to use a quote from Dr. Tony Evans to kind of set this up for us so that you understand what I'm trying to say. Tony Evans says this: I hear people say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. And they are absolutely right. Salvation is through faith alone in Christ alone. But you don't have to go home to be married. But stay away long enough and your relationship will be affected. We have many, many people in our world today that absolutely love Jesus. They want more of Jesus. They want to be like Jesus. They want their lives, their marriages, their homes, their relationships to be transformed by Jesus. And they want absolutely nothing to do with the church. Some of their reasons are, quite frankly, immature and unbelievable. They are. They dress weird, they smell weird, they sing weird songs. I don't know what the dude stands up and talks for 30 minutes for. I don't fit in. Like, there's a list of reasons why folks don't want to do church. It's inconvenient, and they are immature, yes. But some of their reasons have deep wounds and scars behind it that they think will never, ever be healed. Because they were in a place of vulnerability and the church made it worse. They needed grace and love of Christ. And what they got was judgment and shame. They needed to be protected from the bully, and instead, they got exposed. They needed to have a safe place to ask dumb questions, and instead, they got ridiculed. Or worse, they came to the church expecting the church to give them Jesus, and instead what the church gave them was everything else except Jesus. So some of the reasons are our fault. Regardless of the reasons, the truth still remains that God has created humanity for relationship. And if those relationships aren't filled, that hole is going to be filled with something. It will be filled with something. And it will either be something that points them and drives them towards Christ, or it's going to be something that points them and or drives them away from Christ. And God, in his sovereignty, decided to create the church to be a vital part of that process. This is the reason he creates church, is to fill some of this void of relationships. It's through the church, the people of God, that God teaches us about himself, that he shows us about himself. It's through these relationships that he is going to give us a glimpse of what this vertical, what this heavenly relationship with God is supposed to be like. This is why the Greek word for church is ekklesia. It means the called out ones of God. In fact, this is the working definition of church that we use around here. The called out people of God, the ones that God calls out and says, you are my people. You're my people. You're my family. And this relationship, you're on this mission. You're on this mission of Jesus, this redemptive mission to love God and to love people together. And I'm giving you this incredible, obscenely generous gift of the Holy Spirit to do this with, under his authority and his power. And this is what God creates to help fill in this relational gap that we have as humanity. And over the years, we've substituted this idea of church that's people that we're doing life together with a place that we come once a week to sing songs and hear somebody teach about Jesus. I love this. I love our services. I love our worship team. I love the songs that we sing. I love learning. But this is a church service. This is an incomplete picture of church. This is not the full picture of church. This isn't. The full picture of church is that picture of Jesus and the disciples doing life with each other. And they have moments like this. They consistently have moments like this where they worship together and they learn together. Yes, absolutely. But the work of church is done in relationships, in kitchens and living rooms, on back porches and front porches, and office cubicles. This is where church happens. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to nudge you. We're going to push you to expand your understanding of church, to expand your experience of church. Because if this is all that you have for church, you are missing a universe that God has for you. You will never grow to be who Jesus wants you to be without community, without relationships. I could say this, but I don't want you to misunderstand me. I would even say it this way. You will never grow to be who God wants you to be without the church. And when I say church, I don't mean the church service. I mean the church, the people that you're walking through life with. Church. You won't. But Grant, that's a lot of time, it's inconvenient, and those people are weird. Yes, absolutely. We have a lot of weird people here. And you're one of them. So don't get on your little high horse thinking, oh, all of them are weird. No, you're weird too. And here's the deal. We got so many groups. We got so many opportunities that we'll find a group that's the special kind of weird for you. So if you walk into a group and you're like, no way, I'm locking the doors when I'm leaving and I'm never, ever coming back, that's fine. That could totally happen. We got another group that's a special kind of weird for you. You can try it before you buy it. The idea is, though, is that you'll never be who God wants you to be. You'll never see your life transformed until you take this risk of being the church. Because it's not just about making sure you connect and you grow and you get cared for. It's that you bring something to the table that somebody else needs in your life. God's put you through things in your life, not just for your own sake. So So I want to invite you to take this journey. And instead of me trying to wax eloquent about it, I want to show you just some of the stories that you're going to hear over the next few weeks about what it means to be in a Connect group. Take a look at this.
I'm Suzanne Davidson, and I'm the discipleship pastor at Western Hills Church. One of my main responsibilities is Connect groups, and I love Connect groups. I've lived and breathed them for many years, both personally and professionally. The reason I'm passionate about them is I've seen them make a difference in so many people's lives, including my own.
We're Sam and Kathy Norris, and we have been at Western Hills for a little over 3 years.
I think in our case, it was a sense of authenticity and of really genuine connection.
My name is Emily Davis. I've been at Western Hills for 3 years now, and I've been part of a Connect group for 1 year. I am a relational person, and I felt before this year that I had my teacher friends and my college friends, but I didn't really have the glue at church.
Connect groups are just such a great way to get connected, to feel part of something bigger, to grow spiritually, and to learn how to really care for each other and to do life together as believers the way that Jesus called us to be.
The church really grew in groups. Usually when Paul planted a church, he didn't leave 200 or 300 or 500 people. He left a group. They had to start growing from there. And that's the model that was really taking place. They strengthened each other. They encouraged each other. When somebody was poor, they fed each other. They prayed for each other. They corrected each other. I mean, it just goes on and on and on.
I've definitely seen just different individuals being able to move from where they are to taking that next step. Even later, when maybe you're in a more mature spot, I think there's always something that you can learn from other people in the group.
Everybody has come to understand that they have something valuable to input into the group, because we're being the body of Christ and we need each other.
I had to really work to be vulnerable with people who I look up to and share some of the really difficult things that I've been going through counseling even with this year. And once I opened up and shared those things and everybody came around and prayed, it was transformational for me.
It's a church within a church when we can take care of people's needs and they know us, and it just draws us closer together.
I was so nervous to ask anybody to help me move and was just going to rely on my dad. I was encouraged to ask Connect Group, and I did, and 16 people came and helped me move, and we got it done in an hour and a half, which was amazing. So, and I came up over the hill and I lost it, because I could see the caravan of my people. And God was like, this is your community. And you, like, literally can see all of them.
It might feel risky to become involved. I've heard it said that 15 or 20 feet up someone's sidewalk to their front door is like the longest 15 or 20 feet in the life of the church.
If somebody is on the fence about joining a Connect group, I would say take the leap, because for me, they've proven to be a safe space where you can experience life and walk through those struggles and those joys with other people.
I can't imagine any of our groups who would do anything other with a new person than to not only welcome them and want them to feel welcome, but to basically say, if this group doesn't work for you, we would love to help you find one that does.
When you show up on a Sunday morning and you want to feel like you're known, and the best way to feel like you're known is to look around and see people that you have shared experiences with, Connect groups are a perfect way to start that journey, to sort of start that process of figuring out where you belong.
Some powerful stories, some powerful stuff. And if through the message or these stories, God's been tapping on your shoulder at all about starting this journey of living connected, we definitely want to help you do that. You have a chance to respond when we hear these things. It's easy to kind of go away and go on with your week and step back into your normal routines, but you have a chance to respond this morning and really throughout the next couple months as we're unpacking what this means at Western Hills to live connected. So this morning, you have a couple of things in your chair that you can pick up, fill out, and or take with you. I just wanna walk through them a little bit. The first is, we have a Live Connected card, and these are in your chair every week. If you're a guest or a newcomer, first of all, welcome. We are so glad you're here, and we want to know that you are here. So you can take a minute to fill this out and just, again, let us know that you are here so we can reach out to you and hear a little bit about your story and connect with you in that way. There's also opportunities for prayer requests or anyone in our church family to just connect with us as a staff and leadership and prayer team that way. So that's one opportunity. And then second, as Grant said, over the course of the next month or so, we're just sort of going to be sitting in this place about living connected and getting connected into groups. And so these cards are represent some of the groups that we have out there that are available for you to start to take that step forward. So a little information on the front, but then also on the back, some of the groups that are out there. If you've already been in a group and still are in one up until now, and you know exactly where you're headed, you can just mark it off here and drop it in the basket and the table out in the lobby. But if you are trying to figure out where God might be leading you as a group, what groups are available out there at Western Hills, go to our website. It's also on this card, the link there. Go to our website and we have all of our groups listed out and some descriptions there so that you can find out when and where might be the best one for you. So again, you're gonna be hearing about this over the next couple of weeks, but start thinking, start praying about how God wants you to take this step forward in community and living connected here at Western Hills. Well, would you guys stand with me this morning? We're gonna end as we do every week with our blessing. And I think you'll see some things in the blessing here that just reflect what we've been talking about. We're gonna read this over each other. And you know, a lot of times we think about a blessing as someone up front sending the people out, and that's certainly true. But when you're living connected, when we are all the church, as we've been talking about, this blessing is something we should be reading over ourselves, over our families, over each other, over the person sitting next to you, and over our whole church family. So as you do that, be a part of this blessing, and let's take these words to heart. Let's read this together. In Christ, you go nowhere alone. Wherever you go, God is there. Wherever you are, God can work through you. He gives purpose to your being there. Christ, who dwells in you, has something to do through you where you are. Believe this and go in His grace, love, and power. Go be the church.